Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Health and Awareness Radio with myself, Henry Draper, Eric Oak, and Kelsey Brown. Today, we're going to be interviewing Emil from Less EMF, the EMF safety superstore, talking about electromagnetic field meters and shielding, so how to detect and protect yourself from EMF radiation. So we're just, Emil is based on the east coast of the States there. We're just kind of waiting for him to call in now. We've made videos about...
There he is. I'm going to make him live. Hello, Emil. Thank you for joining us.
Sure, you're welcome.
Hi, Emil. So I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about yourself and how you became involved and created, you know, Less EMF, and, you know, what got you interested in, you know, protection and detection of EMF frequencies.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I started this company back in 1996 out of personal interest and concern about the health effects of electromagnetic fields. Prior to that, I had an engineering degree from school and practiced as a dentist for many years. But I took an interest in this, and at that time, there was very little information and certainly very little products available for measuring EMFs and for, you know, shielding or blocking them. So I began this company as a way to get my own products, but also as a way to make them available for others. So since then, now some 22 years ago, we have grown, you know, in the number of products that we offer, and in our knowledge, of course, and in our staff. So we work out of a 5,000-square-foot building here in Albany, New York, and we ship all over the world. Our customers call us from every corner of the world, telling us very often the same story about how they were doing fine, and then something changed in their environment, and now they can't sleep, they have headaches, someone in their family got cancer, and they're concerned that it might be due to electromagnetic fields. Sure enough, they get a meter, they start making some measurements, and find, oh, yeah, there's a smart meter installed on my building. Or, oh, yeah, my neighbor installed a new Wi-Fi system. Or, oh, yeah, they just put up a new cell phone tower. Or who knows what. And, you know, it's shocking to me that in this day and age, with the amount of research that's been done showing the deleterious health effects from electromagnetic field exposure on the skin, on the heart, on the brain, on all the organ systems, of both plants and animals and people, that still there's very little attention paid to it by the government, by our building codes, by our FCC. You know, it's just shocking. So people are pretty much on their own still in terms of what they might want to do to protect themselves. And, you know, we're there to help guide them along the way.
That's really, really cool.
Right, that's wonderful.
Do you have any favorite or, you know, any research in particular that's grabbed your attention that you'd like to share with us, that you maybe share with other people about?
You know, there's so much, and this goes back to the 1940s, really, when both the Russians and the Americans were developing radar in those days for military purposes, but they either accidentally or intentionally exposed servicemen to the various radar situations and started cataloging the health effects that they would see. So, I mean, this isn't anything that's new. This isn't anything that's unknown. It's been known for, you know, coming up on 80 years here. So there's almost no excuse for government and for industry and for science and for academia to say, oh, there's no research. There's just no excuse for it. So as I mentioned, there's been research done on the damage to DNA. Dr. Henry Lai back in the 1990s showed that if you have DNA in a petri dish and you expose it to mobile phone radiation, that it breaks the DNA. You know, they're always saying, oh, no, you need ionizing radiation to break chemical bonds. Well, that's just not true. this subthermal, sub-ionizing radiation, you know, we call it microwaves, it will definitely break the bonds in DNA and cause the DNA to splinter into pieces, which can be easily demonstrated with a comet assay that they do. They take a blob of DNA in a petri dish, expose it to radiation, and then they put it in an electric field, so the pieces of DNA tend to migrate across the petri dish. The bigger pieces are more sluggish, and so they stay behind, and the smaller pieces are lighter and more they travel easier, so they'll move forward more rapidly. So you end up with what looks like a comet with a tail on it, which is why they call it the comet assay. The head of the comet is the big glob of big pieces that stay behind, and the tail is the ever lighter and lighter pieces that migrated further. So, I mean, you know, this is university research. This isn't, you know, somebody's backyard anecdote. And so there's lots of research along these lines. They've induced tumors in mice. They've caused tachycardia. They cause cataracts. You know, and the list goes on and on. So there's no question that there's ample research. If people are interested to see the actual original research, I would invite them to go to our website and go to the news and links section. You'll find there cataloged by category links to articles and research about the effects of EMFs on health and other aspects of EMFs. So it's out there. It's easily accessible. Anybody with internet can find it. So next time you hear someone get on TV and saying, well, I haven't seen any research, it's because they haven't looked.
Yeah, that's right. So I was wondering if you could tell us what some of the materials your products are made out of, like some of the clothes or things like that.
Yeah, sure. So the clothing, of course, is there for shielding for radio waves and microwaves. That's the wireless signals that you get from cell phones and from Wi-Fi, cell phone towers, microwave ovens, all those kind of things, all that wireless stuff. And we have garments to fit basically every part of the body, things for the head, things for the chest, hands, pants for the legs, socks even. So whatever part of your body you're interested in shielding, you'll find a garment there. The garments are made from fabrics that look and feel like ordinary fabrics. There's a variety of different fabrics that we use. Some use a silver content. They might have silver fibers woven into them. Some might use a stainless steel fiber. And some might be a transparent mesh, for example, if you want it over the head or the face area. Some might be a super soft material if you're going to use it as an undergarment. Some might be a heavier weight material if you're going to use it as an outer, like a coveralls or pants, for example. So, you know, depending on which kind of garment, if it's a scarf, you want it nice and soft up against your cheek. If it's a vest, you know, you want to have it have a little bit of, not rigidity, but a little bit of body to it. So, you know, we have many, many different fabrics. And then, of course, we offer the fabrics themselves. So if you have a particular need, you have an idea for a design that you want to do that we don't have ready-made, you can certainly get the fabric and sew it yourself and make whatever style or design you like. We have many people who will buy some fabric and make or line a pocket in their coat or in their pants or even, in their purse where they'll put their cell phone so that they reduce the exposure when they're carrying their cell phone. So we have fabrics with an adhesive on one side or fabrics without. And so, you know, whatever your application is, I'm pretty sure there's a fabric there that would suit it. For example, if you want to make curtains and you want them sheer so you can have light and air still coming through, we have a beautiful sheer material called Veil Shield. Veil, like wedding veil. So it's highly transparent. You almost don't see it. And yet still it's very effective for shielding microwave radiation. Now, obviously, you wouldn't make pants out of it. But it's great for making curtains or a drape. Or if you want a drape that blocks out the light, you want it to be dark, for example, at night, then you could use a different fabric, one that doesn't allow for light penetration. And we have several of those that are available. So, you know, whether it's ready-made clothing or fabrics to make a design, we have them. If you want to have shielding while you're sleeping, you can use shielded bedding. So there are shielded sheets and covers, shielded pillowcases. There's even a shielded sleeping bag. And then, of course, there are tents or canopies that you can put over the bed, something like you would put a mosquito net over the bed. And we have several varieties of those. Some are sort of triangle shape or teepee shape that we go over, and some are squared off so you have more headroom. And some are even designed for better mobility. So if you're traveling, for example, we get calls a lot for people who travel for work or for pleasure, and they go to a hotel and their Wi-Fi is cranked right up, and they want to be able to shield themselves without installing something in the building. So we have some more portable versions that are easy to pack and take with you. So all of those are available. I would encourage any of your listeners, if they're interested, to look at the website. It's called lessemf.com, and they can search around in there for various meters and various shielding. By the way, at home, you know, if the radiation sources are coming into the home from outside, for example, you're near a cell phone tower, or you have many neighbors with Wi-Fi that you want to keep out, there are shielding paints that you can paint onto the walls and onto the ceilings of your rooms to keep that out. As well, there are window films, tinted window films that you can apply to the glass of the windows to keep that kind of radiation out. So lots of options, depending, you know, on what the circumstance is. People will call us often because they're concerned about a new smart meter that is now being installed in their neighborhood. And so, you know, shielding for smart meters is possible. There's shielding you can put on the wall between you and the smart meter. The smart meter, for those who aren't familiar, is a utility meter that sends out a microwave signal back to the utility to report on your utility usage. There's a number of problems with them, including privacy. But the radiation exposure issue is one that you can do something about in terms of shielding that area of the wall where that smart meter is, whether you use a shielding paint or some of the shielding fabrics to line that area. It's pretty easy to do, and it's very effective. What I like to recommend for people when they're thinking about this and thinking about beginning is to get a meter so that you can go and diagnose your environment. Check out your house, check out your bedroom, check out your living room, check out your car, and start to find out, do I have a problem, first of all? Because there's no need to go and get all excited if you don't have a problem, right? That would be good news, and then there's nothing to be done. But if I do have a problem, so what kind is it? Is it a radio signal problem, you know, microwaves from Wi-Fi and so on? Is it a magnetic field problem or an electric field problem that we might get from where electricity is flowing, like through a circuit breaker box, wiring in the wall, or lights or appliances? So do I have a problem? And if so, which kind is it? And thirdly, then where is it coming from? What is the source? Is it the toaster? Is it the fluorescent light bulbs? Is it my dimmer switch? And with that information, then, you can very quickly catalog your house to see, okay, here's the big problems. I have two or three of these that are really a big issue. I have a handful here that are sort of more than I would like, and then I have a couple of stragglers here that aren't so bad at all. And so you can very quickly make a triage or prioritize how you want to approach this. Sometimes people will get feeling overwhelmed because there's many different things going on all at once. And I get that, because there are many different things going on at once. Our houses are highly electrified these days. And many of the things came with the house, and many of the things we've brought in, you know, on our own, whether it's our Wi-Fi router or our, you know, smartphones or whatever it is that we're bringing in. And many of these things we've grown very attached to. So I get that it might be hard to just do without. But using a meter will help you to identify where the hot zones are in your house, where the problem areas are, and what the problem source is. And with that information, if it's not obvious to you what to do about it, And you could always call us and say, look, I've got this problem. I got these magnetic fields coming from my toaster, you know, and so what can I do about it? So we can help you work through the different solutions. Let me give a real simple example. If you were in the bedroom with a meter and you notice that there's high fields near the bed, and so you start to sweep around with the meter to try to look for what is the source, and you find over by the nightstand it's really high levels there, and you realize, oh, it's my alarm clock. So now you've, in this example, you've identified I have high magnetic fields and it's coming from my alarm clock. So what can I do about it? So there's kind of three approaches in general of what you can do about a source of EMF. Number one is, can you increase your distance, right? So can you move the clock further away, or can you move your bed away from the clock? Can you somehow increase your distance there? The radiation intensity always decreases with distance, and so distance is always your friend when you can. Number two is, can I turn it off? Can I put it on the timer? Can I get rid of it? Basically, can I shut it down? With an alarm clock, that's not much of an option, really. And then number three is, can I shield it? And so, you know, shielding options for an alarm clock are possible. But when you weigh those three for the example of an alarm clock, you may find that putting the alarm clock simply over on the dresser, which is 6 feet away, takes care of the problem. The radiation no longer reaches as far as to the bed. And so for no money spent and very little effort, you've accomplished a great deal. So in that example, I give that as an example because it's pretty easy for people to understand. Some other examples might not be so obvious. In the same bedroom, you know, you sweep around and you may find, oh, I still have some high magnetic fields right up by the pillow. And so you sweep around and you find out, oh, it seems like it's coming right from the wall. And you go down to your basement and you start flipping some circuit breakers and you realize that there is one circuit whose wires run right up that wall to the air conditioning unit. So now you have a decision to make here. Remember, you've got distance, you've got turning it off, and you've got shielding. So if it's an air conditioner and you need to run it, you know, at night when you might be in bed, turning it off is not a good choice. Can you put it on a timer, perhaps, so that it runs? It doesn't run during the sleeping period, maybe. Can you move the wires further away? You know, have an electrician reroute the wires. Or can you move the bed to the other side of the room? That might be a possibility. Or there is shielding you can put on the wall to shield that sort of thing. So, again, knowing what the source is, what kind of radiation it is, will determine which kind of shielding you're going to use. But knowing what the source is and where it is will determine what other options you have in terms of, can I turn it off? Can I move it? Can I put it on a timer, et cetera? That
helps.
That's cool.
Really, really good for, you know, these frequently asked questions for the meters and the shielding products and the meters. You say, you know, the different types of meters and what they can detect and things. And so what are the most common meters that you sell, and what are the most common kind of problems that people are detecting, like, at the moment? I'm sure it changes as different products come onto the market, but what are the main things people call you about? Is it their Wi-Fi, or you said smart meters and those kinds of things?
Yeah, there's a wide range of issues that people might be concerned about, and honestly, we hear them all. We do commonly hear concern about smart meters. We do commonly hear concern about Wi-Fi. For sure, you know, people can see those, and they've heard that those are a problem, and they know. But we always encourage people, that may be true, and it would be good to deal with those, but I'll encourage you, get a meter and see what else you have going on. And 99 times out of 100, they'll do that, and they'll find out, yes, that was an issue, and I'm glad we dealt with it. But we found out that we had three other issues that were even worse. And so thank goodness we had the meter, and we were able to address those as well. Because, you know, without a meter, you're just not going to know. You're not going to know if there's an issue in the wall or under the floor. I visited a woman's home not too long ago, and she was concerned about the exposure she was getting in her kitchen. And there was an under-the-counter fluorescent light. And so I brought my meters, and we were starting to diagnose the kitchen, and we were finding, yeah, there was a little bit coming from these lights, but darn it, if there wasn't a real high level coming right from the countertop, And as I swept around with the meter, the dishwasher was immediately under this countertop. And the dishwasher wasn't running. The dishwasher was off. It was idle, right? And but the display on the dishwasher, you know, there's little lights there and so on, a clock perhaps, is always on. It's never off. And that was putting out an enormous magnetic field. And so, you know, who would have thought the dishwasher is off? Why would there even be any fields coming from it? So I advised her to have an electrician come, and what the outlet that the dishwasher was plugged into, to have him put a switch so that she could flip the switch on when she wanted to use the dishwasher and flip it off when it was done. And she admitted, you know, I only put my dishwasher on at bedtime. I load it up, I turn it on, and I go to bed. In the morning, I empty it out. So it's not like she needed to be near it while it was on anyhow. So by having the switch there, she loads the dishwasher, flips the switch, and turns it on, and it runs overnight. Then in the morning she comes, she turns the switch off, and that deactivates, of course, all of this display and the emissions from it. So that it went from very high levels to absolutely zero for the cost of installing a switch. So, you know, without a meter, you'd have never known that. You'd have never known that. In fact, I remember in this same apartment, the same home that we visited, there was an area where they had their computer equipment. And there was computers there, and there was towers and displays and printers and such. And she said, I just don't feel good when I'm over here, and I know it must be an EMF issue. And so I used my meters, and I swept around all the usual suspects, and, you know, there's a little bit coming from the keyboard, a little bit coming from the screen, but it didn't seem like much of anything. I need 10 more minutes. And so I went under the desk, and I started sweeping around, and sure enough, under the desk, there was a small plug-in air filter with a motor, it was, and a fan that was blowing and was producing an enormous field. And so we took that and unplugged it and simply moved it over to the next outlet, which was 6 or 8 feet away. And then the exposure at the workstation was dropped, you know, essentially to zero, and she still was able to have her filtered air. So again, making the proper diagnosis with a meter, knowing what the problem is, instead of spending time, money, and effort shielding her computer, addressing the proper issue yielded an excellent result very quickly and very inexpensively. So I get that people want a solution. They want that shield, and they want this radiation dealt with as quickly as possible. But you can very easily guess wrong and shield the wrong thing. And what's even worse about that is, without a meter, you think, okay, my Wi-Fi router is the problem. I've dealt with it. Now I'm good. If there is another issue that you weren't aware of, now you might be exposing yourself to it with impunity, meaning I don't know it's there. I feel confident sitting in the chair, my favorite chair that's right next to this radiation source. And so I do so, radiating myself more than I would have otherwise. This comes to us often when people will get those little buttons or tags or labels, stickers, and so on that you can put on your cell phone. We've tested lots of those, and we've not found one that reduces radiation. And so people will buy them because they're quick, they're one size fits all, they're cheap. And so for a few bucks, they put this sticker on their phone, and they feel like they're protected because the people selling them have told them, yes, you're protected. But if you check it with a meter, you'll very quickly see that there's no change at all. So not only are they not protected, but now they're using their phone, with impunity, putting it up to their head, storing it in their pocket, or putting it in their chest pocket, even worse. And so they will be irradiating themselves more because they think they're protected than they would otherwise, you know, taking simple precautions of keeping the phone, you know, on the desk instead of in their hand or, you know, on the seat next to them instead of in their pocket. So, again, having a meter is critical to diagnosing what my problems are. It's critical to planning what your strategy is going to be to remediate it. And it's critical for checking after you've done whatever you're going to do. Did that take care of it? Great. If not, you know, why not? What else needs to be done? Is there an an additional source that I hadn't addressed, and so on. So there's lots of meters to choose from, and it can be pretty overwhelming as to which kind. There's a couple, though, that I would recommend for, you know, if you're the kind of person, I don't need an education in electromagnetic fields. I wasn't a science major, and I don't really care. I just want my house to be safe. These couple of meters I'm thinking of are designed to be simple, easy to use, and the beauty of them is that they're built so that you can measure all three types of radiation in one meter. You don't have to get three different meters. So this one's called a handy meter. It's very small. It's about the size of your ear. So it's very easy to carry around in your hands or in your purse or your pocket. It gives its indication with a series of lights that go from green to yellow to red to indicate the danger level. And it's got a simple switch on there that you switch so you can check electric fields, you can check magnetic fields, you can check radio signals, all with the same meter. It also makes a sound, so the radiation intensity makes the sound grow louder. So your ear can very quickly tell you if I'm moving closer or you know, playing that game, getting warmer, getting colder, as I move closer to the source. And for about $150, you get a meter that's very versatile and very useful. It also, this particular one also comes with a cable that you can connect to your computer to charge it, but also you can log data to your computer. So you could set the meter up and let it run overnight, for example, and you can see how the EMF cycles during the night. So maybe your air conditioner comes on or your refrigerator comes on, and you can see the cycles of how the EMF changes during the night. And if you have symptoms that involve sleeping, you find you wake up every night at 3 a.m., this can be useful for helping to see if there's an EMF cause for that, some EMF issue that comes on at 3 a.m. or shortly before that causes this irritation to your system. So that's called a handy meter.
That's really cool. And what was the name of that meter?
It's called a handy meter. It's our part number 145, if people want to look for it. If you go to our website, at the top of the page, there's a blue banner, and right under it, there's a search by part number feature. You go in there, and you look for number 145. It's the handy meter. There's one other option of a meter that I mentioned. It's called the EZ24, ESI24. And this one, too, gives its indication with lights. It also measures all three types. And the main advantage of this one is that it's doing all three types at once. The first meter I mentioned is a switch. So you check electric, then you check magnetic, then you check radio. The ESI, which costs a little bit more, does all three of them at once. So you can almost run down the hallway and check, you know, your house for EMF levels of all three types. So it makes sound. It's got the lights. It doesn't have the computer connection, but it does do all three at the same time. So those two meters, and that, by the way, that one's part number 498, if you want to look for it at lessemf.com. So those two meters, either one of those would be a great choice for a homeowner who wants to diagnose their home, their car, their workspace. We've had people who have asked us about issues at their church or temple where they go, where they've installed a new wireless microphone system. Now all of a sudden, they don't feel well when they go to services. And sure enough, they go and check with their meter, and they find out that this wireless signal is now real strong throughout the building. So, you know, who would know that your place of worship has installed a new wireless microphone system until you go and you measure? I was recently at a high school. It was a boarding high school. And they asked me to come in and take a look at the dormitory areas. And they were all proud because now they had Wi-Fi throughout the campus. And they had Wi-Fi repeaters all throughout the dormitory buildings. And I went in there and was hoping that I was going to see these repeaters out in the hallway where people don't spend a lot of time. But was very dismayed to see that they had put them, the dorm rooms. And they didn't put them up at the ceiling by the door, again, where people don't spend a lot of time. They put them at waist height right next to the beds. And I told them, I said, this is madness here. Oh, yeah, you're going to have great signal when you're sitting on your bed with your laptop. But now you're going to be irradiating the students the entire time that they're in their room, and especially the entire time when they're sleeping. It was a very bad setup. So I don't know if they ever took any action to remediate that, but having a meter very quickly helps you hone in on issues like that. So I would encourage anyone who's interested to get a meter. You can very quickly diagnose your area.
That's awesome. Thank you, Emil. Well, we're out of time now, but everyone can check out the meters, the fabrics, and the other grounding equipment that Emil sells on his website, lessems.com. And I will put the link in the description of this radio show today. But thank you for joining us, Emil, today.
Great. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, Emil. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, you're very knowledgeable. And, yeah, I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. If you feel you want to do it again, we'd be happy to. We can go into more depth on any of the topics that we talked about.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Love to do another one, because I'm particularly interested in like the grounding equipment, because I don't particularly understand that completely.
Yeah, we didn't even touch
on
that, we could do a whole session on grounding. Yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, I was going to ask about that too. Yeah, that's cool.
Okay,
awesome.
Very
thank
good.
You. So,
let
Henry,
me know when you'd like to do it. We'll set it up.
Yeah. All right. Bye now.
All right. All right, thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and join us next time. Bye.